Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what is up? And welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, The Roofer Coach, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Check out my website at theroofercoach.com, where you can pick up a free download that I have. It's called the One-Page Business Plan. And if you don't have a business plan yet for 2021, you're going to have a tough time being successful, really planning out where you want to go with your business and a roadmap of how to get there. This simple download will get you started on the process of planning, give you some great ideas, really help you out. So be sure to go check that out and download it for free. And get going on making 2021 your best year ever. Got a great show for you today. I've got Dylan McCabe from Limitless Roofing CEO Groups. And Dylan has put together groups of non-competing contractors that get together once a month over Zoom. They talk about best practices, some of the problems that other contractors are having, because we all struggle with the same issues. So getting together, having a sounding board, talking about your problems and what you've done to solve them can really help each other out, builds great support and camaraderie. I have always been involved with peer groups and masterminds. You know, it's lonely out there. It gives you a group of people, successful contractors, because the unsuccessful contractors aren't doing these type of things. But you get a great group of contractors together, and you can really go through these things, build relationships. So we're going to get into that, but I've got a couple of things that I want to cover before we do. I've mentioned before that out of the Roofer Show podcast has come theroofercoach.com, and this is something I've been doing more and more of, is one-on-one coaching. So I'm thinking of adding on a little show maybe in the middle of the week. I've got the Roofer Show podcast comes out every Friday. But rather than talking about some of the issues that come up in my coaching program on the Friday show, I'm thinking of doing a short one midweek that just focuses on one issue that's come up in the groups that I coach, because this is something that really help you out. We're all having the same problems. I know I did. I had those struggles, and we come up with solutions in the program that really make significant changes to their business, and I think we can all learn from that. And this show tends to get a little long. It goes for about an hour, and it's just enough to put you out at night, you know, if you have trouble sleeping. But I'd like to cover some of these things, and so I'm thinking of putting that out once a week, just one tip, keeping it like 10, 15 minutes. Be sure to let me know your thoughts, either send me an email, or even better, text me at 510-612-1450. Let me know what you think. I love texting. And by the way, you notice how I said the numbers very slowly. Drives me nuts when you're got a voicemail or trying to write something down and they just rattle off the number like you're going to remember it. It's take your time when you're giving out numbers. Anyway, love to hear from you. Let me know what you think, because I don't want to get started on a new project unless you're really going to get value out of it. So I'll keep you informed on that. Now let's talk about company meetings for a minute. Company meetings are really important to have as long as they're worthwhile. There's no point in having a meeting unless you are really organized. You can facilitate it, keep people interested, and come up with important stuff that's going to move your business along and move your individual employees along. Make sure they realize, hey, what's in this for me, and make it worthwhile. But the point that I want to make, the way that I like to start off my meetings, and the way I really like to start off this podcast, since it's basically a meeting, is I like to go around the room and just say, hey, give me one word that you're thinking about. Kind of get things going. Are you stressed, or you're positive, you're motivated? Because what that does, one, it kind of focuses everybody, because you're going around the room and say, hey, give me one word, just to sum it up, all right? And maybe it's a word that you want to go into a little bit, dig into a bit. Or maybe it just gets the feel of the room. Hopefully we keep it positive and gets things started off, keeps everybody on focus. It just makes the meeting more productive. So I want to start off with my word, and my word right now is awesome. And I'll tell you why, because I'm up here in Vail, Colorado, doing some skiing, and I'm sitting here looking out the window. A buddy of mine has this beautiful house right on the mountain, the main mountain at Vail. And, you know, the only thing that's better than having your own killer place up in Vail is having a buddy that has his own killer place up there. Because I don't have to pay for the upkeep and all this stuff. But I am looking out, and it is a bluebird day. We have had some, I wouldn't say great skiing, because they need snow. And it is hard pack. So it's a lot of work, but the sun's out. It's beautiful. I'm looking out there, and I think I'll take the afternoon off. As I talk about, I'm from California. I've been skiing all my life. Started taking skiing at 10, 12 years old. So I've gotten a lot of days in over time. And when I was contracting, I did a lot of skiing. I had a business consultant, a business coach. He was based in Denver. And so we would come up, have our planning sessions, coincidentally, in Vail. And I talk about our business planning sessions, and we would come up, just kind of hang out, talk about business, talk about our new strategy for the coming year. And this guy really helped me out, really helped get my business started going in the direction that I wanted. And one of those things, as I talk about, was that I wanted to be able to ski a lot. I wanted to take time off. I didn't want to have a business that depended on me, that relied on me to be there. And that's what we talk about in our business planning. I mentioned the one-page business plan. Part of that is called the two-week vacation. Just real quickly, so many contractors cannot take time off. They don't take vacations. So I use this example where, let's say you just won a free trip to Hawaii. The only catch is that you have to leave 2 days from now. Well, most contractors couldn't do that. They say, my business would fall apart without me. I can't take that kind of time off. Well, if that's you, you're doing something wrong, and you're not building a business of value, because your business should provide you, one, a great lifestyle for you and your family, be able to spend time with your family, being able to take these vacations, and number two is building a valuable asset. And for your retirement, because the only way that you're going to do that is to have a business that doesn't rely on you. Because if you've got to be there, there is no value to an outside buyer, because you're going to have to stay there for 5 years, get this company running, bring in the right people, the right system. But here I am in Vail. It's my first time out for the season. And as we know, last year was a disaster. I think I got 2-3 days in before everything shut down. Normally I'd be getting 20 plus days a year. So here I am. It's been a while, a little rusty. But what I always do the first time out each year is I hire a ski coach. Well, I've been skiing for 50 years or whatever. I know what I'm doing. So why would I spend what is a fortune here to hire a private business, not business, but a ski coach, a ski guide. The reason is just because, you know, I'm a little rusty. I want somebody that's constantly skiing that can pick up, look at my game and say, hey, you know, you're picking up a few bad habits here and there. So make these little tweaks and it's going to make a huge difference. The other thing is I want somebody that knows the mountain. Now, I've been skiing here all my life. I know the mountain pretty well, but what they know is, you know, local knowledge. They know where the best snow is, which time of day, you know, because they've been there and done it. That's what they do. They're professionals. And so it makes a huge difference. I want to get there quickly because I don't want to screw around. I mean, I'm here for a week. I want every day to count, and I want to get back my game, the top of my game, immediately. So I hire a coach. Business coaching is the same way. I talk about why would you hire a business coach? Because they've been there and done it. They can get you to the mountaintop or wherever your destination is, they'll get you there quicker, easier. It's more fun, less stressful. And it's all the same, whether it's a golf coach. I talked about that the other day. I'm back in golf. And the first thing I do is I get a coach. I don't want to, you know, why do it the hard way? These guys can really help you. And it is a great investment to make. Just like NBA players, you've got a coach. So coaching is really important. But I'm out here, I'm sucking air at 8,200 feet. I'll tell you that. This is pretty high coming from sea level, but we're having a great time. It's all good. I know a lot of the listeners are from Colorado and big boarders, big skiers. So one of these days, hopefully we can all catch up out here. And a real quick reminder, today is Friday. So it's follow-up Friday. What are you doing to follow up? And this is something that we go through each Friday. We want to keep set it up. Let me give you some ideas that we can do to follow up. Most importantly is follow up with your open proposals, right? You make your presentation, you either got it sold or you lost it or it's open. Now, what happens with those open jobs? Are you following up? Most contractors are because they're out there looking for fresh meat. Man, I want to get out there and quote some new stuff rather than going after the gold. That is, you've already spent the money to get the lead. You've already spent the money to go out there and make your presentation. It's sitting right there, but everybody's afraid to make that call. What if they say, oh, don't bug me? Come on, suck it up. Get out there and follow up with these people. Because a lot of them just maybe need a little nudge, maybe lost your proposal, maybe thought that you were just the same as everybody else rather than differentiating yourself. So maybe you have an opportunity to discuss why you're better, why they should go with you, find out what's going on and follow up. So there's your most important follow-up. Take five of those open deals. Go call them, and until you get five people on the phone, ask them straight on, when do I start the work? Shall I come over this afternoon and pick up the deposit? But that's number one. Number two, get five five-star reviews today, okay? And get people on the phone, talk to them, whatever it takes, and say, hey, I'd like to send you this link. It just take you a few minutes, but I know that you are satisfied, you were happy with the job, and our business is built on satisfied customers like yourself, so it'd really help get our name out if we can get a review. Boom, simple. Just do it. Because if you take five times 50 weeks in a year, say, that's 250 five-star reviews. It makes a huge difference. Your competitors that have all those reviews and you've got five or six because you never ask for them, really, who are they going to go with? So that's our second follow-up. A third follow-up, just call your customers and say, hey, thank you. I appreciate the business. Did your roof a year ago? Want to make sure everything's okay? Great. Please keep us top of mind if you have the opportunity to refer us because our business is built on referrals. And we would really appreciate it if you would just keep us in mind. Here's a fourth idea, and this is really important and something that's often overlooked, which is follow up with your employees, your people. You want to get out there, see them, say thank you. I appreciate the work that you're doing. You want to show them respect that they're important and that there's a difference between a great job and a so-so job, because if they don't see the difference, they're going to do a so-so job. So get out there, and this isn't necessarily falling to follow up so much, but it does when you have conversations with your guys. Now, what I always try to do anytime I was up on the roof, I would pull off one of the guys just aside and say, hey, just want to thank you, let you know what a great job you're doing. What's going on in your family? Tell me something about, your kid just graduated high school. That's awesome. Now I'm going to come back and follow up and say, hey, how's your son doing? You know, he graduated from high school. What's he doing now? Think how far that goes to making people want to work for you. And that's what it's all about. Oh, I can't find any good people. That's because you never say thank you and you never take care of the guys that you have. Subcontractors, same way. Go out and say, hey, thanks, appreciate it. Because when push comes to shove and they get busy, who are they going to go take care of first? You want to make sure that that's you and not your competitors. And that just takes a simple, hey, really appreciate it. Here's lunch on me. I just brought some sandwiches out for you guys, but I really appreciate what you're doing. And we're going to work on the training. This is what's important for us. When you do our kind of work, this is how you want to do it. And they're going to be much more receptive. So that's number four. Get out there and say thank you. Follow up with your guys, your subcontractors, also your vendors. Hey, thanks, man. Just wanted to let you know. Follow up with what's going on. How's everything happening? Great. Wonderful. That's our fourth. And the fifth and the most important is you just got to get out there and do these things. You need to follow up and make it follow up Monday if you want, but Friday's got a catchy tune to it. But you've got to do it. You've got to go that extra little bit. We always talk about the small improvements, but be consistent. And if you do follow up Fridays, you take five of something and go do them. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It just has to be routine. So that's what we got on that. It's going to make a big difference in your business, small changes, small improvements, but be consistent. And lastly, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. When you're on this two-week vacation, who's answering your phones? Well, Ruby is, and they're going to answer it with a professional, friendly receptionist. They're going to take care of business while you're not there, because you should not be the one that's answering the phone, whether it comes to your cell phone or whatever, that's a distraction. You want to have this on autopilot, and that's what they do. If you need, there's a problem, you're out of town and you've got an emergency, they can text you, do whatever, they can forward the phone call, and you can set them up so they understand what is important and what's not. Take down a lot of this information and just take this task away from you. And even if you have a front office, they've got better things to be doing, more valuable things to do with their time. So check out Ruby at callruby.com/roofershow, and you can see what they can do for you to make your life easier and get on that two-week vacation. All right, well, let's get into it finally with Dylan. Dylan, what's going on? Thanks so much for coming onto the show. I really appreciate it.
Dave, thanks for having me, man. Glad to be here.
You're gracious enough to have me on your show when you first started off. And your podcast, I mean, it's killing it. How many episodes are you up to now?
I think we're about to do 26 or something like that. We're trying to do one a week. So it's going to take us forever to catch up with you, but we're heading that way.
When you do, I'll be dead. So that'll be good. Yeah, I just did number 200 the other day. It's pretty crazy, because putting out a show every week, putting it together, getting your guests lined up, you know, kind of getting organized, it's a lot of work, man. So I can really appreciate what you're doing, because you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate that.
Well, tell me, okay, you've been in the business for a while. How did you get started? And tell me what you're deal is all about.
So I came into roofing like a lot of guys from the outside or a different field. And I've been in business development and leadership roles at different kinds of companies, from digital marketing to healthcare to a couple of different verticals. And I was in a state of transition about a year ago. And my good friend Miller Whedon is the owner of Raintight General Contracting. And I approached him. We'd hung out a few times, but really our wives were really good friends. So they are the key to this business relationship. But I approached Miller and I said, hey, I'm in a state of transition. I'm kind of putting my feelers out there. Your wife and my wife are great friends. Definitely don't want to mess with that relationship at all or do anything right. That would jeopardize that. But what do you think it would look like to work together? How do you feel about that? And he said, man, my wife and I talked about working with you years ago. And so long story short, we started working together and actually started doing sales for him at Raintight General Contracting because I wanted a situation that was more entrepreneurial with, you know, no ceiling on my pay, and was very attracted to the roofing industry for a number of reasons. And that started our business relationship.
He's running a great business down there. How's he doing?
He's doing good, man. He just came back from a successful hunting trip and things are going good at Raintight. So he's living the dream.
Cool. All right. Well, let's talk about your program and tell us a little about what you're doing and tell us about the peer groups.
Yeah. So after getting into roofing, you know, I'm an entrepreneurial guy and I've hosted a couple of podcasts in the past. And I was talking with Miller and said, man, there's a big opportunity here to do a podcast and just interview owners and CEOs of roofing companies and just hear their stories, kind of like what you do, Dave, and really just try to figure out what are people dealing with in the roofing industry from a leadership standpoint and from a business standpoint. And so we started interviewing and I told Miller, you know, what we will find out if there's a business that we could start that would solve a big problem or you know, answer some big pain point that owners and leaders in roofing have. And so we got into it. And at first we really thought, you know, why don't we start a digital marketing company? Because I was actually VP of operations for a digital marketing company for a few years and basically build a franchise system out. So all about being able to go to multiple locations and basically have a repeatable business model. Well, we kind of got into that and quickly realized we don't really want to do that. And we didn't really enjoy it. And frankly, there's other people in the space in roofing that can do a much better job. So, you know, I'm driving home one day and I just had kind of a light bulb moment. And I thought, you know what I don't see in roofing is I don't see CEO peer groups. And CEO peer groups are well known in the more, you know, to use the blanket term, white collar world. I've been a part of peer groups before. And I thought about Vistage, which is a big CEO peer group company. They've got over 25,000 members. But the thing Vistage does is they bring together CEOs and owners from all different types of companies, and they put them in a room together for a day or half a day so that there's no direct competition. Well, I'm thinking, you know, there's a big weakness to that. What does the CEO of a software company know about my issues with overhead and profit if I own a roofing company? They know nothing. So we're going to spend the half our time just explaining each other's businesses. So I thought, what if we bring together owners and CEOs of roofing companies? We'll meet once a month. The membership meetings will be capped at 10 members each. And over the course of a year, we will help each other break through limits in business and in our own personal leadership together. And so that's how the company Limitless was born.
Yeah, well, I've always been involved with peer groups, and this is going way back. And we would have a host city, and I agree with you about Vistage because I looked into Vistage and totally agree where you've got, here's a dentist that's doing one thing, and here you are a contractor, and you're talking about business, and there's a lot of similarities. But I think when you're a contractor, particularly a roofing contractor, and it's lonely out there. You think you're the only one that's out there, you know, doesn't know what they're doing and uncomfortable. And by getting together with non-competing contractors and talking about the problems that we have, we've all got the same problems. I mean, you realize that, hey, I got the same struggles. And that's really the benefit of getting together with people, non-competing contractors, like what you're doing. I think that's a great program because it's really necessary. And now it's so easy to do because you do it online, where before we'd have to take a couple of days. You fly into the host city, go out there. You got to go up the, you know, put yourself up in a hotel. You've got the facilitators going to fly out there. It's a huge cost. So now we're able to do it at more competitive rates where you can get a bigger group of contractors. You don't have to be a huge contractor. You can be some of these smaller guys. And they're the ones that really need it, because some of our larger contractors, I was always involved with NRCA. And so you've got those connections out there. But for the smaller guy, he just doesn't know how to get started, how to put these things together and learn these skills. So I think you guys are doing a great job. There's really a need for it. That's great.
Well, thanks. We really enjoy it. You know, when I started to realize when we were interviewing guests for our podcast and talking to guys, you know, I do a strategy call before we do our podcast, say, hey, what's the three biggest challenges in your business? What are the things that keep you up at 2 a.m.? I ask everybody that. And guys mention the same things over and over and over again. And the bottom line is everybody hits a ceiling. And that's a natural part of your business journey. Everyone is going to hit a ceiling. You're either going to hit a ceiling with your company, where it's headed, how far it can grow, how well it can grow, how strong your company can become. You're going to hit a ceiling on your own personal leadership skills as well. And John Maxwell, you know, in his books, calls it the law of the lid, that if you're to rate your own leadership on a scale of 1 to 10, well, your company is never going to become stronger than your own personal leadership. So if you could rate yourself on all the different leadership variables at a 5, well, your company is going to hit a ceiling too at around a level 5 company. And so our vision with our roofing CEO groups is to assess where those weaknesses are. And you can boil it all down to one of 6 key areas in your company, and then get some solid business strategies and systems and processes in place to remove the lid and truly become limitless. I mean, that's the point of our brand, Limitless, is to remove the limits on your company and your leadership. And it's not just about growing from, say, 2 million to 5 million a year or 5 million to 10 million a year. It's also about growing well and sustaining that growth so that you can step back. You can go on that hunting trip. You can go on that vacation with your family, and you can be present with your family. You don't have to work 80 hours a week. You can work a solid 40 and have a really strong, successful company that's profitable, that's long-term, and be happy and not feel like your business is running your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my program, I've got something I call the 2-week vacation. And the idea is that, all right, you just won a 2-week vacation to Maui free of charge. The only catch is you've got to leave Monday. Okay. Well, most contractors couldn't do that. Say, hey, my business would go out of business without me. I can't get away like that. Well, that's a problem. So that's something that we set a goal and say, okay, where you want to go on your 2-week vacation? Okay. I want to do this camping trip, for instance. Okay, great. That's what we're going to set this up, and we're going to work towards that, because you have to build a business that doesn't rely on you. And when we're talking about looking further out, where at some point, you know, you want to exit the business, you want to have some kind of strategy set up. And that's really a form of the 2-week vacation, because if that company relies on you or just a few key people, there's no value in that business, because it can't run without you. And that's something that I see big problem. And so setting this up, getting the right positions, getting the right people, getting them trained, getting them to be held accountable, that's all part of the deal. And I think you guys do a great job in your group. And I know that you use the EOS system as the basis of this. So first, let's tell us about that, and let's go through the steps and what our listeners can get out of this.
Sure. So we're a big believer in EOS. It's EOS worldwide. I'm actually an authorized EOS implementer. So we decided to make an investment to where we could get all of the tools and the training that EOS worldwide has so that we can really serve and empower our group members the best way possible. But basically, EOS is just a business growth system that enables you to structure your company the right way. And this is nothing new. These are tried and true business practices that have been used for hundreds of years by successful companies. But a guy named Gino Wickman, he's the author of best-selling book Traction, he put this system in a package, and it's called EOS Worldwide. And it basically gives you a dashboard to look at your company. You narrow it down to the 6 key areas, and you develop systems for each of those main areas so that you can become strong in all of those six key areas, because the deal with hitting the ceiling is that you're going to hit the ceiling when you're weak in one of those areas. The only way to break through that ceiling, instead of flatlining or failing, which you and I both know, the stats are pretty scary on the number of businesses that fail. It's over 50% after 5 years of being in business. So the stakes are really high. So if you don't want to flatline or fail, you want to break through that barrier, you got to become stronger in one of these six key components. And that's how you remove the lid or remove the limit on your business. And so EOS is the program we take our CEO peer group members through. And the first component is called vision. And so we discuss hitting the ceiling, and then we discuss vision. And a lot of people think vision, they think, oh, that's some kind of like, you know, big, amazing dream. Like we're going to, you know, Apple computer is going to put a computer in every home or whatever it is. But it's not about this big, huge dream that nobody can attain. Having a vision is just really cutting a clear path. Because if you imagine, you know, you got a group of people cutting a path through a jungle, right? They want to develop a road to get through this jungle. Well, if somebody doesn't climb to the top of one of the tallest trees and say, hey, this is where the road needs to go, you're just going to have a lot of people working really hard, cutting a zigzag path. It's going to take them five times longer, and they may never even get there. So vision is just climbing that tree, saying, here's where we want to be in 3 years, in 1 year, and in 90 days, and here's why, and here's how we're going to get there. So that's the first major component that we work through, and we get really detailed, and we have a lot of tools and resources we use to develop that vision.
I like that. What I use is the mountaintop. I call it the mountaintop. You see that mountain over there? All right, I'm going to lead you guys over there, and we're going to get there in the most direct way. Otherwise, you're right. Everybody's going their different route, and nobody's getting there together. And that's what I like about this program. And most contractors, they come up through the trades or they come up through sales, and they don't understand how all of this fits in together. And you've really got to have all these things down. And that's what I like about having an organized formal program like that. So let's talk about the second one, and that's people. Tell me about that.
That's right. And this is, you know, frankly, the thing I hear the most belly aching over, the most stress over, the most concern over is people. You know, I have a good friend that's a successful business owner. I remember him saying a long time ago, being in business is great until you have to deal with people. but you know, if you have the right people around you, it can be a source of motivation and stimulate one another to work well. It creates a really good, encouraging atmosphere. So it's all about having the right people in the right seats. And what we teach is how to hire, train, and empower the right people. Now, the right people are people who align with your core values. And that's something we develop. It's all part of the vision. Is a question we ask is, what are your core values? You can't just make a goal to hit a revenue target. You really have to define who you are, who you want to be as a company, as a culture. And then you hire based on those core values. So you want the right people in the right seat. So right people are people who align with your core values and your idea of what it looks like to have a great environment. The right seat means you've got that right person and you've given them a role that's in line with their unique ability or their strengths, if you are into StrengthsFinder 2.0 or whatever. And this is not just about like a DISC assessment or a personality assessment. It's about strengths. You don't want to take somebody that's great at sales and great at hunting and put them in an operations role. They're just going to be stressed out and they're not going to do a good job. So what you hear about a lot is companies who develop people and they've got them in the right seats. But over time, they realize this isn't the right person. This person doesn't align with my core values. Maybe you're the owner of a company. You hired a salesperson with a really strong personality. And as time goes on, maybe after a year or 2 years, it really starts to show that they aren't in line with your core values. You start to have a clash of leadership. And then, so you've got somebody in the right seat that they're really good at in line with their unique ability, but they're not the right person. A lot of times that results in somebody being fired or they just leave the company and go start their own gig because there wasn't alignment from the very beginning. But it's your job as the leader to determine that alignment. And you've got to have your core values nailed down, your company culture nailed down. And that way you can hire, train, and fire based on those core values. And a lot of companies also don't have the right person in the right seat. But the good thing about that is if you do have somebody in the wrong seat it's not in line with their unique ability or their strengths, and they're really just not doing their job well. Maybe there's another seat they can fill that's in line with their strengths. And there's a number of assessments out there, but the bottom line is you want to get the right people in the right seats. Otherwise, you will not have everybody rowing in the same direction at the same time, and you won't have sustainable growth. You're just going to have a very bumpy road, and it's going to be a chaotic process.
Here's what I'm seeing with a number of my contractors that I work with. You know, a lot of us have seen huge growth. You know, it hasn't taken, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to grow your top line these days because there's just so much business out there. And what tends to happen is things are getting away from them. They're taking on too much work, more work than they should, more work than they're set up to really handle profitably. So what they end up doing is throwing people at those, what they think are the positions. I just need to get more guys out here. Okay. You're hired. Going way back, let me just play a story is that you always hear everybody talking about there's no good people out there. You know, it's all different. You get a lot of old timers like me that say, oh, you know, back in the day, you know, we had all these great people. Well, that's just not true. Those good old days weren't so great because I go a ways back. I worked with my father, and I can just look back. The biggest complaint that he always had, hey, there's just no good people around. You know, it's a consistent problem. And back then, you know, the hiring requirements were, hey, sober enough to climb the ladder. Okay, you're hired. So there's a lot of that. It's just the same gripe that everybody has. By doing what you're talking about, which is number one, the seats, it's the positions. Looking at those positions and seeing what do we really need to run this type of an organization, having a plan. And what I'm doing now is that, okay, we have to scale back. We have to build the right positions, find the right seats, and then hire the people to sit in those seats or to fill those positions. And it's, I think, a real problem that because it just gets away from you. Now we've got so much overlap going on in our business. We've got the wrong people. It's become a huge mess. You're right about that you've got to start with that and really take a look at it. Spend the time to develop those positions, the seats, and then go out and hire the right people. And they've got to fit into your core values. I agree, hiring the right people. So love that. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and a lot of times you hear people say, it's hard to find the right people. Well, you're going to make an investment up front. You're either going to hire somebody that's very seasoned that you know you can just deploy and they're going to be off to the races and you're going to pay them a very high salary. Or you can make an investment in your own leadership time and your resources to train people and raise them up to their full potential. And if you want to be a leader, you've got to be a learner. I mean, you've always got to be sharpening your own saw. Like they say, you know, if you're going to chop down a tree, what's the first step? Sharpen the saw. And your mind as a leader has to constantly be sharpened on how to develop and empower others. That's one of the key leadership traits of any successful leader of any successful company, and that is delegate and elevate. You have got to be able to reproduce yourself or you're always going to have a people problem. That people component of your business is always going to be weak. You've got to be able to delegate and elevate to where you can step back. But there's so many resources out there now with the internet, with training programs, with books, that you really can't claim that there's not the resources there to train your people. We have an overabundance of resources. I think it's harder now to cut through all the available options and find the best one. But as a leader, you know, you want the right people in the right seats, and it's largely on you to help them get there and help them reach their full potential and then delegate and elevate so that they truly can be off to the races and you can step back. And that way you don't have to answer that call on Saturday afternoon because you've developed leaders. You haven't developed a bunch of people that are dependent on your every single little decision and little response to everything. That's not sustainable.
I think you've got to have your mind right. Too many contractors are thinking, well, he's just not doing it right, so I might as well do it myself. And this is where they find themselves. You're stuck in this hamster wheel where you can never get away from that. You can never learn to, you know, that's learning to delegate properly, but realizing that, hey, they may not do it as well as you, but close enough, man, let's move on. Do you see that in your groups?
Oh, yeah. So the most successful companies all do the same things. They have really good training programs. They have really good hiring and onboarding programs, you know, to make sure that they hire kind of slowly with multiple interviews. But then when they do hire somebody, they have a very clear path of training and success and compensation. And guys that are more shooting from the hip, just kind of winging it. This is, you know, don't have time for that. Why don't you ride around with me for a week right. And then I throw you to the wolves. You know, that works okay for a few people, but not for most people. And that's where you see companies with a lot of turnover. So that's one of the things we go through in our program is developing the right people in the right seats. We have templates for actually structuring your organization. And then we have a scorecard that you can use as the owner of your company to where everybody in your company has a score. And you rate them based on their core values and their unique ability, and you keep score, and you also let them know how you're keeping score. And that's another leadership skill is communication and just letting people know, here's what I expect of you over the next 90 days. Here's the 5 to 7 things you are responsible for. And those 5 to 7 things are going to be broken down into a few key practices every single day. And every single day, I'm going to be keeping score. We're going to have a weekly meeting. I want you to do these things every week, and that's going to equal success at the end of this 90-day period. And if you can be successful and show that you're putting forward a great effort in these 90-day goals, you're going to be successful at the end of the year, and you're going to look back and you're going to pat yourself on the back and say, job well done. And I'm going to tell you that too.
A lot of contractors don't like confrontations, so they tend not to give feedback, hold people accountable. And it's also gets into, as you say, starting with that position, being clear on what's expected of them. Here's how we're going to keep track of this. Here's how we're going to be held accountable. And this is what the goal is. And this is what you're going to be held accountable about. You've got to give constant feedback. I say feedback's the breakfast of champions. You know, you need to constantly be working with these people. And that's the only way that you're going to accomplish the things that we're talking about.
Yeah. So the next major component of the business, I think we've talked about vision. We've talked about people. The next major one is data. And great leaders track numbers. And when I talk about data, I'm talking about scorecard and measurables. There's a list of about 10 things that you should be keeping track of in your business. And we use a really simple template that makes it easy. You can print it out and jot it down once a week in your leadership meetings, your weekly meetings, or we have software you can use as well. But to keep it simple, everybody in the company has a score, and then every major process has a score as well. So you're tracking the major steps for all the major departments of your company from marketing to operations to sales. And you know what's happening. You don't have to worry about waking up at 2 a.m. thinking, you know, we're just struggling, but I'm not sure exactly where the weakest link is, or I'm just not sure exactly what the problem is. You know what it is. And when it usually goes back to a person, you're keeping score on that person as well. And it does two things. It gives you a very clear picture of how that person is performing. And it also gives them a very clear picture. So let's say you give somebody the requirements of their job. You've made their role crystal clear. You've told them, here's how we keep score. Here's how we set you up for success. Here's what you can expect. And you can also know how well you're doing. Well, once you have that scorecard in place, you have pushed out of the way strong personalities and emotions, and you've got a data-driven company. So let's say your scorecard includes a new salesperson doing so many phone calls a week. Well, once a week, you're keeping score on that. And once a month, you can follow up with that salesperson and say, hey, we wanted you to make X many calls and do all these things, and it looks like you haven't gotten there. Well, you can talk about it in a friendly way. And it's not about them. It's about the scorecard. You agreed on our scorecard. We've seen multiple people do this. We know it's attainable. We want to set realistic goals for you. We don't want to set goals that are out of reach. We know you can do this. What's the deal? You know, where can we improve? How can we help you? You have a good conversation, but that's strike one. A month later, or 2 weeks later, if you want to make it shorter, you go over the scorecard again. You've given them the tools they need to shore things up and to improve. You have another conversation. After a while, you're going to start to realize you either have the right person in the wrong seat, or you have the wrong person in the right seat. And you have conversation number two. That's strike number two. If 2 weeks later, you have to have the same conversation again, at this point, it is crystal clear based on the data, not on personalities, based on the data, you've either got the right person in the wrong seat or you got the wrong person in the right seat. And it's time for them to either fill another seat or fill another role at another company. And you can go to them as the owner and kind of take your own opinion out of it. And you can say, look, the numbers are here. It's very clear. You and I both know here's the things that are measured. Here's what you have to do. And you're just not doing it. And we've talked about it. And clearly this isn't a good fit for you either. You're probably not feeling very fulfilled or feel like you're a winner in this situation. So let's talk about it and figure out whether you're going to know as the leader if they're the right person or not, and whether they need to fill another role or not. But anyway, the whole idea is that when you have that clear scorecard, it makes it a lot easier for you as the owner of the company to do that. And at times to let people go if you need to and base it on the numbers.
I totally agree. Let's get into the fourth topic, and that is issues. Tell me about that.
Issues. So every company has a list of issues, right? I mean, we all deal. We deal with people. We deal with issues. We deal with problems with customers, issues. We deal with problems in production, issues. But your ability as a leader really boils down to your ability to solve problems. If you can't solve these problems and put them behind you, they're going to torment you forever. And a lot of owners of roofing companies put some duct tape and some string on the problem, so to speak, and they just keep going and they keep kicking the can down the road and the problem never gets solved. So one of the key components we teach is the issues component, how to strengthen it and go from most people are operating at about 30% strength at solving their problems. We want to get you to at least 80% strength. And we have a tool we call IDS. And that means identify, discuss, and solve the issue. So one of the things we teach is a level 10 meeting. So every week you have a meeting with your team. It's a 90-minute meeting and you are working. One of the parts of that meeting is working through issues. And you clearly identify, discuss, and solve issues together as a team. Now, this takes some openness as a leader. You have to be willing to say, hey, we keep dealing with this issue. Our production time is way longer than it needs to be. What do you guys think? As a leader, you have to practice listening and you have to practice asking good questions. You don't want a situation where people are afraid to speak up because they're afraid you might retaliate or some other strong personality in the room is just going to squash their response. You need to be able to have a team environment where people identify, discuss, and solve issues together. Most companies just discuss. They just discuss problems. They just bellyache, but they don't identify the root cause of the problem because all problems are like an iceberg. You know, a lot of people just talk about the tip, but a lot of times the problem is not really, you know, that production process. Yeah, maybe there's some issues in the process, but sometimes it's the person. Maybe they have too much on their plate, or maybe you've got the wrong person in the right seat, or maybe you've got the right person in the wrong seat, or whatever it might be. But as you dig deeper, the real issue comes out. Then you can discuss it, and then you solve it. And you solve it by putting a plan in place to say, okay, we've got 60 days to solve this issue. What needs to happen, guys? I want your feedback. Let's discuss all the connected issues to this main issue, which is our production process of ordering, getting everything lined up before the job can be done is too long. What are all the things involved? Everybody writes it down on a whiteboard. You boil that down to 5 or 7 key issues and then develop a plan over the next 30 to 60 days. To say, let's tackle this and put it behind us forever.
All right. Well, let's jump into always my favorite is the process.
So process is another key component. And Dave, this is something that you're big on, and that's developing the kind of company you can step away from. But the process component is all about having systems and repeatable processes in place that are documented, illustrated, and followed by all. Now, I know a lot of owners of roofing companies that are tired of saying the same thing over and over again to people, and that you feel like, hey, I told you how to do this, or you should know our process by now. But my question is, well, where is it illustrated? Where is it used in training? Where is it up on the wall for everybody to see with a really simple diagram with 3 to 5 steps maximum? And a lot of times I get crickets as a response. I hear silence. And that's because the owner of the company hasn't developed or hasn't taken the time to develop the process, This is the way we do things. So that's something we go over in the EOS program, is that process component. And that's basically documenting your process so that it's repeatable and followed by everybody. And that's where you get your company to the point to where everybody's rowing at the same time in the same direction. And now you've got a business model that's sustainable and even repeatable, that you could open up shop if you wanted to in multiple locations, or it's repeatable to the point to where you can step back more and more and more and work on your business and not just in your business every day.
Yeah, that's the key to really getting out of that day-to-day, or whether we call it the two-week vacation, or whether you're going to exit from your business. It's having those processes in place and everybody understands them and it's followed, and it allows you to, what I call, just, now I've set this up, now get the hell out of the way and let them do their job.
Yeah. And I think it makes it easier for all the team members too, to know, okay, this is exactly how I do what I'm being asked to do, to be a valuable member to the team, instead of trying to figure it out. You know, it makes it a lot harder on everybody if that proven process isn't in place. And we like to boil our process down. Even when we're talking, you know, in a sales meeting to somebody, we say, hey, it's three simple steps. If you want to do a discovery call to learn about our CEO groups, step one is you join our Facebook group. Step two is you let us know you want to schedule a meeting. Step three is we send you the link to do the Zoom meeting and we hold the meeting. It's three simple steps. Now there's more to it than that, but we handle that. And the key is we communicate that. It's easy for people to follow. It's easy for us to follow. And I noticed the other day, I saw an interview with Hunter Ballou. You know, he's the owner of Cornerstone Construction. He's the owner of RoofCon, or the founder of RoofCon Conference. And I saw in the video interview that they have their process on a big poster, and it's just five steps for sales, five steps for the finance team, five steps for the operations team. And that's so good, because if you think about it, every company can really be boiled down to three major departments. Mm-hmm. You got sales and marketing, you got operations, and you got finance. So if you can just nail down your key processes for each of those departments, it's a lot easier for everybody to get on the same page.
I talk about the three-legged stool. You've got to sell work, do work, and keep score. And you've got to keep that stool solid. That's really what business is all about, is trying to keep that stool solid, because there's always one of those legs tends to be weak. And that's what business is all about. That's what business ownership is all about, is keeping those three legs solid, because they're all just as important as the others.
That's so good.
Well, let's get into our last area and out of the EOS, and that's number six, and that is traction. What's going on there?
So traction is all about taking the reins in your company and getting what you want out of it, making you feel like, and get to the point in your skill set as the owner to where you control your company doesn't control you. So when you strengthen all those other components from vision, people, issues, data, process, you get down to traction. It's all about, okay, let's bring that vision down to the ground and put it in action now. And the two major tools we use for that are, one, our meeting template, what we call level 10 meeting. And the other is 90-day rocks. We call them rocks just because if you look at all the things happening, you could say you've got rocks, you've got pebbles, you've got sand and water, all the different things happening. But the rocks are the most important things. These are the 5 to 7 things that you want to get out of your company in the next 90 days. And so we develop an annual plan. From that annual plan, obviously, you've got 4 quarters. So you've got 4 90-day rocks. And out of those 90-day rocks, you want 5 to 7 things to tackle. And the cool thing is you give everybody in your company a very clear list of 90-day rocks, of 5 to 7 things that they are all independently responsible for to accomplish that 90-day goal. And we have a template called the Level 10 Meeting Template, and it's a very clear-cut template on how to run meetings. And so I ask a lot of guys, what is your meeting? How would you rate your meetings? And I say, well, we meet once a month, or we meet once every 2 weeks or whatever. Okay, well, how would you score yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 for how effective those meetings are? Are you knocking things out? Are you hitting your goals? Or are you kind of talking about the repeat things? And so over and over again, I hear, you know, I'd kind of rate myself at maybe an 8, But then when we dive deeper, right, you don't have effective meetings. You aren't giving, you aren't deploying people to action. You aren't tracking where things are at. You, things that should have been done in a week or two are still being talked about 30 days, 45 days later. So our level 10 meeting template, which I'm happy to give anybody listening to this for free, by the way, this is a free resource we offer, but it shows you step by step, spend 5 minutes, you know, just doing small talk, catching up, spend 5 to 10 minutes letting people share something great that's happened over the last week. Let people share what they're doing well. Spend a few minutes discussing the scorecard, have everybody pull out their scorecard, then spend the next 60 minutes identifying issues, then spend the last part of your meeting giving tasks. Okay, we nailed down these issues. Here's your tasks for the next week, your task, your task, your task, your task. Let's knock these issues out together and keep chasing after our 90-day goals. And that's, you know, a lot of leaders are not strong in this area. So the whole goal is to just raise your strength.
Well, I love this program, and I think there's a serious need for it in our business. Tell me, what type of contractors would benefit from this program, and what's the next step? What, how can they get more information from you?
Yeah, the guys that we really, you know, our two main criteria for joining our program, you know, you don't have to be doing $20 million a year in revenue. That these kinds of practices are not just reserved for the biggest companies in roofing, even though that's what they're doing. They're doing this kind of stuff. We'll take you on if you're doing $1 million a year. But the key is, are you a learner and are you growth minded? Meaning, is not just do you want to grow, say, from 5 million to 10 year, million a year or whatever, but do you want to get more out of your business? If you're happy the way things are and you want to just maintain the status quo, that's not what we're for. We're not a good fit. But if you want to grow and you're a learner and you want a very solid, simple system to put in place so that you can grow, get your company where you want it, and then sustain it, then we're a great fit for that. And the different thing we do that's unique, other than just using EOS, is we do it in that CEO peer group so that once a month, you can not only work out this solid business system, but you also get solid feedback from other owners and CEOs of roofing companies. And you get to ask them questions like, hey, I'm having trouble growing my sales team. What's the best advice you can give me based on all your experience? And you get amazing feedback from those 8 or 9 other members. I mean, it's just priceless. And so you've got a band of brothers around you to help you to get what you want out of your business and what you want out of your own leadership.
That's so important. And having that group of other contractors around, because we all face the same problems. We all have the various struggles and weaknesses. Maybe somebody, as you say, you know, needs some help with the sales process and so forth. And this is a strength of another contractor. But it's a great way to go. Love the program. How do we get in touch with you, Dylan?
You know, the easiest way to get in touch with us is just our Facebook group. We recently started a Facebook group, and it's called the Limitless Roofing CEO Group. You can search for it in Facebook. Just do a search for Limitless Roofing CEO Group, or you can go to our website, limitlessceogroup.com, and a banner will pop up that says join our Facebook. We're really trying to develop a community, get feedback, and create a place where everybody can shine on one another with their experience and their knowledge.
And what about the podcast? How can we listen to your podcast? Because that's a great show. Recommend everybody check that out.
Sure. Yeah. You can do a search for the Limitless Roofing CEO Show, and it's available on iTunes. You can find it at our website, and we interview owners and CEOs of roofing companies once a week.
Sounds great. All right, Dylan. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. That's some great information for our listeners. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you want to take your business to the next level and make 2021 your best year ever, check out my coaching program. Go to my contact page and click the big button. It'll take you to my calendar. We can set up a time to talk, half hour free call, and we'll chat about your business, get a little strategy session, and see if I can help. And until next week, we'll catch you on The Roofer Show.